I'm talking to Brendan Fletcher, who is the writer and the director of Mad Bastards, a feature film that's opening in May and is already getting an enormous amount of acclaim. But Brendan, you're not exactly a new kid on the block. This is your first feature film, but you've got quite an impressive body of work behind you.
Thank you.
Just looking back at your career, what are some of the highlights? I'm guessing that Black Chicks Talking must have been quite an important project for you as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I suppose every step is along the way you learn something, and, you know, that, in a funny sort of way, this is about men, that was about women, you know?
Yeah.
In that one, I was very much led by Leah Purcell, you know, who was the other director on the film, and you know, we worked on that closely for many years before it came to life. Mm-hmm. I've been really, I've enjoyed my career, and I had, I had some crazy and sort of fun times working with Russell Crowe. You know, I started off making music videos for his band and ended up sort of going around the world pretty much and filming those guys when they were in Texas and New York and Italy. And, you know, that was sort of basically just making little documentaries, you know, along the way behind the scenes. And, you know, I suppose they weren't, they weren't films that got acclaim, but they were, you know, for me it was a fantastic way to sort of experience a whole other world again, you know, and I'd find myself, I remember going literally from, you know, Giorgio Armani's Fashion Week in Milan, you know, Italy, and then flying back to the remote part of the Kimberley to continue working on Mad Bastards, you know, so I had this sort of crazy dual existence where I'd be sort of going from the, you know, kind of the glitzy end of the world right back to the bush, you know, and I think it helped both ends of it, you know, it helped me kind of appreciate both sides of that. And, you know, I've also loved working in television. You know, I did a great series with Andrew Denton, and I've just finished working with Judith Lucy on a show that's coming out on the ABC, and I suppose for me the continuing collaboration with the Pigram brothers in Broome has been something that keeps coming back and keeps growing, and, you know, is a big part of my personal life, and I'm really, really proud that it's, you know, I think every filmmaker dreams of the big one, you know, dreams of that, that one film that's going to really punch above its weight, and, you know, so far so good with Mad Bastards.
And where did it all begin? What was sort of the first major project that got your career underway?
Look, I'd probably say, in fact, that making a documentary called Saltwater Country, which was about the music of the Pigram Brothers, was the first time I'd made something that, a film of mine that got on telly, you know, that was 1998, I think we made that. And up until then, I'd been making, you know, music videos and short documentaries and, but they were playing at festivals and in a sense, you know, you have a fairly limited exposure of your work. But, you know, that was the first time I'd made something, and it was an hour long. It was quite a, you know, it was a film with some substance and some depth. And I think that really was a big moment for me, because it was the first time where I was able to go. I remember I actually threw a big, it was early on, I think it was on telly at like 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. It was hardly a high rating slot, but I remember throwing a party with all my friends and family saying, come over to my house and, you know, let's watch telly. it was sort of a big moment, you know, to actually see your work actually broadcast. Yeah, that was probably it for me.
And it's, yeah, again, the Pilgrim Brothers, who are now in Mad Bastards, not just as producers and performing the soundtrack, but they're actually in the film almost as a bit of a Greek chorus. Was that sort of the idea?
Very much. You know, it's so funny, this film, because it's heavily dramatic, obviously, and as you say, quite moving. But at the same time, it's got a lot of music, and it's got a lot of music not just on the soundtrack, but in front of you, people playing ukuleles and mandolins on screen, on camera. And it's sort of hard to imagine how that works, but, you know, it does work. And the Piggies, for me, and of course Alex Lloyd, which maybe we can talk about later, but, you know, the way they write music and the sort of music that they write is very warm. And the idea was that it was a balance to some of the tougher parts of the film, you know. So you're always kind of being knocked around and then being lifted up, I suppose, as a compliment to that. Because I didn't want to make one of those kind of just super hardcore dark films that, you know, is truthful and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's I suppose there was always more positivity in the way that we saw the world, and the music was just a great way to do that, you know, and it's great music. And I suppose the other thing for me is that I'd watched films like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, you know, with the George Clooney film, you know, where they've got the sort of bluegrass musicians, the Soggy Bottom Boys, I think they're called in that movie, with yep. kind of popping up, you know, during the film and singing a song. And that's sort of what we wanted, you know. We kind of wanted to have a movie that was featuring, you know, specific music from a specific movie about a specific part of the world, you know. I mean, a little bit like maybe Buena Vista Social Club, you know. The Pegram Brothers music is of the Kimberley, is of that place. And anybody that has been to the Broome or the Kimberley or has heard them on the radio, you know, they do sound like nothing else in the world. And in a way, they've kind of really been responsible for creating the sound of the Kimberley. So it was kind of about creating a soundscape where they could kind of walk around and play on and really own that musically.
And you mentioned Alex Lloyd before. How did he become involved?
Well, Alex, you know, I'd made video clips with Alex again back in the 90s, and you know, we just sort of stayed friends. And I'd always come back from the Kimberley to Sydney to say, oh man, you've got to get up there. It's just all going on up there, you know. It's really, there's a lot of music and it's fantastic. And, you know, he was at the time, I think, winning ARIA Awards and, you know, like being really famous and successful. And it took a few years, I suppose, for him to sort of find the time. And, you know, I guess our friendship grew. And, you know, it was probably about 2005, 2006, he came up to Broome with me and met the Piggies. And look, from the moment they started sort of playing together, they just sort of seemed to suit each other, I suppose. And Alex, of course, has a very powerful voice and a beautiful voice. And so the melding of his voice with their instrumentation, which is so, I suppose, unique, you know, it's all sort of mandolins and ukuleles and beautiful kind of string sounds. So the idea of putting those two sounds together, I think, brought the best out of both of them, you know. And in, to be honest, what happened is that they started writing the music for the film even before we had the script. So we shot the film with songs in mind, like actually specific songs in mind for parts of the film. And it's quite funny. Often I talk about my process as very back to front, because we had the actors before we had the script, and even before we had the actors, we had the musicians.
Yeah, right.
And on some of the on some of those casting trips, where we kind of were all in this little, packed in this little kind of beat up school bus, traveling around the Kimberley trying to find the actors, Alex Lloyd was with us on a couple of those trips. So, you know, I would, at some times, I've got some footage where we were rehearsing a scene, and then in the background, Alex and the Piggies are kind of doing a kind of improvisation of music for that scene at the same time, you know. So, look, it was a very organic process, and that's why music is such a strong part of the film, because it wasn't like, oh, all right, we've done the cut, let's just go slap on a few songs, you know. It was sort of the opposite of that. It was very much part of the process from the beginning.
Well, I think that's partly why I responded so strongly to the film, being very interested in music and the way it works with film. The art of the soundtrack is somewhat dying, I think. You know, you do get these generic scores, so I love the fact this film had a particular sound. Your process reminds me a little bit of what I've heard about Mike Leigh, the way he develops his films, which is, it's sort of an idea and actors first, and a script and story grows out of that. I was wondering about your influences and people you look to.
Yeah, look, I read a bit about Mike Leigh. I tried to read up on his process because it did interest me. I suppose the key difference, you know, between his process is that he uses great actors. Fantastically experienced actors. And look, at the end of the day, I don't know if there's much difference between whether someone is fantastically experienced or someone's a good actor and they're a mechanic. You know, I mean, I don't know if I've told you this, but the fellow that is that plays a policeman in the movie, his character is called Texas, and then the fellow's name is Greg Tate. Well, Greg Tate is a policeman. He's not an actor. He's been a policeman at this Halls Creek police station for 17 years, you know. So when I say these guys weren't actors, they were literally policemen and mechanics, and, you know, and Dean, who plays TJ, the other lead actor, you know, he'd been a grip on film sets, you know, before kind of coming onto Mad Bastards. So, you know, they were really kind of the other end of the spectrum, I suppose. But look, I suppose I looked at a lot of other filmmakers like Michael Lee. I looked at films like City of God and Motorcycle Diaries. Both of those films used real people in the story and in the photography, but they were also had experienced actors as well, as much as they could. So they were sort of a bit more of a blend, but certainly the kind of aesthetic of those films, of kind of really raw and kind of really make you feel like you're kind of on this journey, was sort of always something that interested me. But I didn't, you know, I didn't really find anyone else out there that I could pinch their ideas from, I suppose, as much as that would have been a good idea. I really just kept going back to, you know, the process that had to work for us, you know, and it was, you know, it was, like I said, it wasn't easy. We could have made 100 films with all the stories we collected. We spent many years, you know, first of all, I started writing down the stories as the guys would tell me from their life, and then I started recording them on a digital recorder, you know, audio recorder, and then finally I started shooting the stories because I realized that the way they spoke and the clothes they were wearing and what was happening as they, you know, while they told the story was all part of this thing that I was trying to capture about the Kimberley. So we ended up with, oh God, I'd, you know, probably 100 hours of kind of oral stories. And making that into a movie was, you know, kind of choosing between all that material and crafting it down was no mean feat. But look, I suppose, you know, I was determined to do something that was unique to the place and unique to the people. So that's what we had to do.
Well, Brendan, I think what you've achieved is extraordinary and the results speak for themselves. I've been talking to Brendan Fletcher, the writer and the director of Mad Bastards, which opens around Australia in May. Brendan, thank you so much for your time.
No worries. It's been a pleasure.